Going to begin now. Obedient living. I've been studying about that. It has a lot to do with the scriptures. Without the scriptures, we would have a hard time with this. It's kind of like knowing the laws of the land. You need to know the laws of the land. Well, they're written somewhere, and a lot of them we just grow up knowing because somebody else knew them and somebody else knew them. And a lot of that has to do with the Word of God. Over the years, from back when I was a little bitty, I watched people read Bibles, my parents, and of course they took me to church. I also watched grandparents read and study the Bible, and so I got an idea from that, that the scriptures were important. But the scriptures are very important for us. What is meant by obedience? Obedience is the state or act of being submissive to the will of another. Really, that's what the word obedient means. Now, I know that's really deep, but that's what it is. But now, we need to listen to this. There's true obedience is this in the spiritual realm. Is the act really of following God's will for our lives in all respects out of a desire of the heart? So, true obedience is not just serving God on our own terms, but according to His will and His word. So, true obedience to God is not what I think is right, because what I think is right may not be a good thing with certain situations. It needs to be what comes out of this right here. It needs to be what God lays on our heart. And when we study and make sure of what we're understanding, that's where it needs to come from. Not out of what we think. Let me read you something real quick here at the end of a book. At the end of Judges, I flipped too far. At the end of the book of Judges, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." I mean, it'd be kind of nice to do that. you see this big thing right here? My son killed that years ago, and he bought a tag for it. Well, in my eyes, and I don't see the point in buying a tag, but it is a law, and so therefore we do that. But if we all done what was right in our own eyes, what a mess this would be. But anyway, we do have the word to go by. Now, true obedience really is more than an outward showing. I can act, and I can do things that look good to everybody, but it needs to also be an inner situation. In my heart, I need to want to do the will of God, and then in that process, I need to act out the will of God in an outward way. Why should we be obedient? What's the purpose? Why should I be obedient? You know, a lot of people could answer that in a lot of different ways. For one, we should be obedient because God loves us. Look what He did for it. Listen, it's not hard to be obedient, really, when you think about it, to somebody that really cares for you. When somebody really loves you, it's not hard to be obedient to that person. And we really know that God loved us because He loved us so much He gave His Son for our sins, that I don't have to go to hell. I didn't have to pay for my own sins. Jesus paid for my sins. What an act of mercy and kindness that was shown to me. I should want to show back the same to Him. So therefore, we should be obedient because God loves us and He's worthy of that love. And He's worthy of the obedience in return. It's kind of like a respect thing. When somebody shows me respect, whether I know them or not, I show them a certain amount of respect back. I've got a grandkid that doesn't quite understand that yet. One of these days, maybe that grandkid will. But when they show me respect, when my grandkids, all of my grandkids, show me respect, I don't have a hard time showing them respect back. Of course, I don't have a hard time whipping them either. But what I'm trying to instill in them is to understand that if they respect me, if they show me respect and obedience, it's not hard for me to show them respect. Well, it's the same with God. Because of what God done for me, I should be willing to show him that same love in return, and I should be willing to give him that same obedience and listen to him. It doesn't take much meditation on what God has done for us to overwhelm us. He had an unconditional love. And by his unconditional love for us, he sent his son to die for me. What a blessing that is. We should be obedient because it is a practical way to prove our love for God. If I tell somebody that I love a person, but I don't show them any respect, I don't have any obedience or any cares for that, how do you really think somebody's going to believe that I love that person? No, I don't think so. That's the importance of the outward appearance. If I tell somebody I love God, they ought to be able to see that I love God. I tell people I love my wife, Sandy. They should see that love. Not just hear that I say I love her, but they should see with their own eyes that I love her. And if they don't, something's wrong. You see, this proof, this moves our love from a mere lip service to actually doing something, to an actual demonstration of our love. This proof for our love for God should be present really in every aspect of life. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 14. Book of John, chapter 14. Yes, finally. Brother Jim, you're reading the Bible. Chapter 14 of the book of John and verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So really, the closer relationship and the more obedient we are to God, the more we know about God, the more he manifests himself to us. Listen, to me, that's important. The more I know about God, the better off my life is every day. The less I even worry about things. The more I know about God, the less I worry. The more I know about God, the more I realize who's in control. God's in control. Turn with me over to 1 John. 1 John. That's way back there in the back. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In other words, what it said right there is real simple. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We ought to be willing. We ought to love him enough to keep his commandments. Now, not only that, what he asks us to do is not grievous. What he asks us to do is not hard. It's not unreasonable. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says it's our reasonable service. It's not out of the question. It's not asking me to do something. It's not like climbing Mount Everest. I don't think I can, nor do I want to. But I don't think I could do that. It's not unreasonable. It's not grievous to me to obey the Lord. We should be obedient because God clearly commands us to be. When God commands something, we really have no other option but to follow it. 1 Timothy 6:14. That's in the T's. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. Now I realize we got a windstorm in here. No, I like it. Keeping me cool. I realize Timothy really is talking to pastors. Is talking not only pastors, deacons, teachers, but we can all glean from Timothy. He says, "But thou, O man of God," verse 11, "flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou," verse 14, this is one, "that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Why until then? Because once the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ happens, we're raptured and we become like Christ. We don't have to worry about these things. We won't have all these things as bothering us. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." In other words, I can talk about it all day long, but am I doing it? That's the question. If I'm not doing it, I'm deceiving myself. that's the last person I should want to deceive is myself. So we need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Now, realize this, that without obedience, we cannot please God. It's not going to happen. It's not that we're not going to be God's child. We're not going to please God. I had three children I raised. Sometimes they weren't obedient, and I was not pleased. Sometimes they knew I wasn't pleased. Sometimes they understood I wasn't pleased, if you're catching my drift. Sometimes you get your hind end tore up. Sometimes you just get that look. You know, you get that silent treatment. That's the same way it is with us and God. See, when we're disobedient, we're not pleasing the Father. We're not pleasing God, and we might get a little discipline from Him, and then again, we might not. It may just be that look of a sad. And see, that bothered me too. The discipline bothered me, got my attention, but so did that look. When I was when I was a kid, man, I knew if my dad was happy or not. And I liked him to be happy. Now, how do we become obedient? This is where it's really all at. How do we become? It's one thing to talk about obedience, but how do we become obedient? Really, there's four steps that help us achieve an obedient life. One, know God's commands. We need to know God's commands. It's important to have a growing knowledge of God's word to see clearly what God desires for us to do. We kind of talked about this morning. The scriptures need to be in our heart, we need to build that intimate relationship, because by doing that, we will understand a whole lot more about God. When building an intimate relationship, let's compare it, because Jesus does. Let's compare it with my wife. If I had no idea what she cared for, if I had no idea what she really, really liked to do, really liked to see, if I had no idea, then what kind of relationship are we going to have? Not going to be a very good one. Well, it's the same thing with God. We need a good relationship with Him. We need to understand what He wants from us. And therefore, we know how to act. And we want to be obedient. And our love for Him grows stronger and stronger, because we start realizing who God is. You know, we talk about it all the time. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's easy to read that. But when you seriously look out here at it all, it's like, oh, wow. The apostles in the boat. Here they are in the boat. Man, it is rocking and rolling in the waves. The wind's bad. Jesus is in the boat, and they wake Him up, and He calms it. And you know what they said? What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? They still hadn't got it. See, sometimes we're that away. We still haven't got it. We know who God is. We realize what God did for us. But we still just haven't totally got it. Kind of like Belshazzar. Daniel told him. He said, the very God that holds your breath in His hand, and you've done all the things you've done to Him. That was kind of stupid. That's kind of like opening up the door, and you get hit in the face, and you shut the door. If you opened it up again, it's like, hello. Belshazzar knew it, because he watched his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, what he went through. But yet Belshazzar still went against God. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but a lot of times we're pretty much the same way. God has already shown us a lot of things about His will. Let's go to the book of Psalm. Psalm 119. I sure hope the YouTube feed is better than it was this morning. And I think the wind is better than it was this morning. At least it is in here. It ain't out there. But Psalm 119 and verse 11 says here, it says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. All right, now what was the question we asked? God has already shown us many things about His will. It's God's will that we hide the word in our heart so that we don't sin against Him. It's His will that we do that. Now let's look at 105. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen, the word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. That's what God wants us to understand. Look at Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. In other words, God is telling us, listen, this is what you need to understand. This is what you need to get. I want you to understand my will for you. It's made simple for us. Even to those of us that are not rocket scientists. We get it. We understand it. Go to 2 Timothy. Well, yeah, chapter 3. We read them this morning. Read these verses this morning. 16 and 17. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. All scripture. All of it. All of the word of God. Not part of it. All of it. is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that people of God, God's people, God's children, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's important for us. Look to God for power. We don't have it on our own. Look to God for power. It's impossible to become obedient to God in all things if we're doing it in our own power. We can't pull it off. So many people say, well, I'm going to get up this morning and I'm going to walk in the Spirit. That's what I used to say. I'm going to get up today. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to do what God wants me to. Did you catch that? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Listen, if we get up with that kind of attitude, we're going to fall on our face. If we get up and say, Lord Jesus, help me to be obedient today, and start our life that way, start our morning that way, it'll change a lot of things. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. In other words, we can walk the walk and talk the talk that the Lord wants us to if we'll do it in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, I'll just read it real quick. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, allow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to fill you, to be in total control. It's funny he used wine. You ever been around a drunk? They're controlled by what they've been drinking. That's why I said, don't be controlled by you be controlled by the Holy Spirit. He gave a great example. When you fill yourself with Jack Daniels, you are now controlled by Jack Daniels. If we fill with the Holy Spirit, allow Him to fill us, allow Him to have fully control, we can walk in the Spirit. Man, we're allowing God's power to work in and through our lives, not mine. My power is nothing compared to God's power. By the way, think about God's power. It is the very power that rose Lazarus from the grave. It's the very power that Peter went to Dorcas. And said, arise. And she arose. It's the very power that when Jesus gave his life on Calvary and was put in a tomb, he was resurrected by the power of God. If we've got that power at our fingertips, look what we could do for the Lord. Develop the right attitude. Sometimes that's hard to do. Especially when you got governments like we have to fool with. It's hard to have that right attitude. Because there we go. If we do what's right in our own eyes, listen, we show up at some of our governor's houses and you just knock on the door, and when they open the door, lay them out. But that's not what God wants us to do. We need to pray for these people. Listen, they got serious issues. For one, they're dying and going to hell, I would imagine. We need to be praying for them. And if they are saved, we need to be praying that they get their lives right with God, because they wouldn't be treating God's children the way they are. Our attitudes towards serving God and being obedient will do much to help us or to hinder us. When we're trying to develop an obedient life, we need to have the right attitude. The Word of God lists several attitudes that we can possess which directly influence our development of true obedience. Delight to do God's will. It needs to be a delight in us to do God's will. God honestly can develop within us if we will permit him. Let's go to the book of Psalm, the book of Psalm again. Psalm 40. Psalm 40 is right after 39. Psalm 40 and verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. If we will allow God, then he can develop us into the true obedience that he wants. God's will needs to be done carefully. In other words, we don't need to be careless in our striving to do God's will. We need to be very careful about making sure we're doing God's will. Deuteronomy 26:16. Deuteronomy 26:16. Where's that at? Before it? No, it's after that. It's after Leviticus. And it's after Numbers, apparently. Man, there's a lot of numbers in Numbers. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. In other words, we need to be careful. We need to desire from our hearts to be obedient to the Lord. Be sincere in your obedience. God doesn't want just lip service. But really, he desires our sincere obedience. He don't want, what good is lip service? Oh, honey, I'm going to buy you a massive, she's looking at me. And she's pointing right here, just exactly what I was thinking. I'm going to buy you this huge diamond. Well, if I tell her that for the next 30 years, you really think she's a preacher? No. And by the way, she's got a nice one. You know, we need to be sincere with what we say and what we do. Luke chapter 18, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. Luke 18:15, it says, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. In other words, where was I at right here? In other words, he would rather us desire our sincere obedience, not be against it. He wants us to. I read the wrong verse. It's been my whole day. Ever since the wind came. chapter 8, not 18. Chapter 8, you guys were probably there. Verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. In other words, he wants us to seriously be sincere about serving him and will bring about good fruit. That's really what we're looking for. That's really what the Lord is wanting. Learn to deal with temptations. Anybody ever have any temptations? Sure you do. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I made it there. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." In other words, there, all of these temptations come at us, but listen, God is there for us. He told the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I think it was, he said, listen, all of these things, in other words, Paul had an infirmity, which was a problem, but he said, I'm there in your weakness. That's when the strength comes through. Same thing with this. It's the same thing with this. We get our strength from Jesus. Obedience really should be the first priority of our lives. Obedience to God ought to be the first thing that we want to do. Which major areas of your life, my life, your life, should be our focus in obedience? Where's our problems at? We need to sit down and figure out where our weakness is. See, when I was training horses years ago, there were certain things I did really well with training the horses. But then there was a few things I didn't do too good at. I was kind of weak in those areas. The same thing when I was shoeing horses. I was kind of weak in certain areas of shoeing horses. And so I had to concentrate more on those areas. That's what he's asking us here. Where do we need to concentrate? Look at your life. Write it down on a piece of paper and say, hey, this is my strong points with being obedient to the Lord, serving the Lord. This is my weak points with being obedient and serving the Lord. Let's look at a few. Bible study and devotion. How faithful are you at with Bible study and devotion? Is it an everyday thing? Is it a once in a while thing? I'm not talking about things that come up. I'm talking about in your everyday life. Do you take the time for Bible study? Do you take the time for a devotional study? If that's a weak side, hey, that's where you need to concentrate more at. That's what you need to pray about and say, Lord, help me to get a better study life, to get a better devotional life. Prayer. What about prayer life? Oh, everybody can pray. But do you pray as much as you should or could? If that's a weak point, then that's what we need to concentrate on more. Witnessing. Telling others about Christ. Now, right now, kind of hard to do that. You knock on somebody's door, hello, I brought the COVID to you, because that's what they're thinking. People are tending to run from everybody and to hide from everybody, which honestly is what they want. That's the whole idea of computers, iPads, and laptops, and smartphones, is to keep people from socializing. That is the whole point behind them. It's not to make our life easier. It's to keep people from socializing. Because as long as you're wadded up in an iPad or in a laptop or in a smartphone, you're not socializing. And if you're not socializing, you sure ain't going to witness. Witnessing may be a problem. Maybe it's with your, I'm saving the best one for last. Maybe it's with your mate, your soul. I mean, your mate, your spouse. Maybe that's a weak point we've got. Maybe we don't talk enough to them. Maybe they talk too much. maybe we don't communicate like we should. If that's a weak point, we need to work on that. Ask the Lord to help us. Because, by the way, if we're not in good with our spouse, if our hearts are not right with our spouse, our prayers are hindered. Bible says so. Maybe it's your job. Maybe you got a problem at your job. You need to work on that. Ask the Lord to help you. Time management. Do you ever have trouble managing your time? My wife has trouble managing her time. If it takes 5 minutes to get somewhere, she's gone 5 minutes. We don't have to leave till 6:55 to be somewhere by 7. But you got to remember, there's things in the way. So you got to manage your time right. I'm picking on her. She ain't saying nothing to me. She's probably saying something to you guys. Boy, I can't wait till we get back in church. Actual being there. Oh, that's going to be good. Time management. Time management goes along with, if you're managing your time correctly in your life, then that helps you get your devotional life where it ought to be. It helps you get your prayer time where it ought to be. Helps a lot of things. And I told you, I saved the best for last. Church involvement. Now, I know right now we've been shut down ever since March. good grief. April, May. Yeah, we're going on. That's ridiculous. I realize that, but what I'm trying to tell you is, do you have your place in church? Are you involved in church? Do you want to be involved in church? Are you faithful to coming to church? Because, see, we see now how important going to church is. Actually, I think it's been a really good thing in a sense, the way we're having to do things, because it helps us to realize, well, you know, there's lots of times I could have went to church, but I put it off. I didn't. Maybe that'll, I'm praying that that'll get to some people's hearts and say, you know what, I need to be on time, time management. I need to be on time to church. Not to mention, man, I need to be faithful to the Lord's church. Get involved in the Lord's church. That's just some areas. Remember this. Obedience requires something that a lot of us don't like. Self-discipline. You see, self-discipline is one of them areas that's kind of irritating. You want to lose weight? You got to have some self-discipline. I have a problem with self-discipline, but I am cutting back. But in other words, show's suit on it. Anyway, self-discipline is something that I believe all people struggle with. And that's a place that we all need to ask the Lord to help us with self-discipline. Because if we have self-discipline, all of these things I was talking about, not going to be that hard for us to deal with. Well, I always like to do this before we close. I like to have an invitation, but we really can't have them right this minute. But I'm going to give us a short invitation right where you're at. If you suffer from some of these problems we were talking about, if you're not serving the way we should, you ask the Lord to help you to do that. Maybe you're saying, well, you know, I'm not even sure I'm saved. Listen, the Lord Jesus said, whosoever call on him, he would save. It's not a, well, I got to clean this up, I got to clean that up. No, it's whoever calls on him. Listen, God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary, to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, took my place, took on him my sins, all of mankind's sins. And if we'll ask him into our heart, he says he'll save us. He won't turn us away. If you're listening tonight or maybe in the future and you hear this and you say, you know what, I want to be saved. I want to know I'm going to heaven. You ask the Lord Jesus to save you. Tell him you believe that he's the Son of God. You believe that he hung on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood and died and was buried and risen again. And he is alive today. Amen. And you ask the Lord Jesus to save you, and he will. Remember the prayer request. Remember Brother Bill. in a special way because Sister Margaret said it is really serious. He has a lot of infection. Also, if you remember Sister Judy, she will be traveling this week. So she won't even be here Sunday. I think she's going up to Washington, so keep her in your prayers and as she travels and for safety. Put a hedge of protection about her. And we'll be traveling here in a few days ourselves. Keep us in your prayers, and we thank you for it. Keep the church in your prayers. And I'm thinking Brother Kevin's got Wednesday night, so if you would be praying for him, I'll double check on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what I ask. And then Sunday morning, be praying for our services. What a blessing it will be when we're together. Now, we're going to have to behave. We're going to have to social distance. We've got to be sensible with it. But nonetheless, we're going to meet. So anyway, love you guys and God bless. And let's have a prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close this service, once again, Lord, we thank you for all you do for us, for sending your Son, Jesus, died on the cross for our sins. Lord God, we thank you so much for that. Help us, Lord, to be obedient. Help us to delight in your word. Help us to manage our time correctly and to have a devotional time that we can build a relationship with you. And Lord, we thank you. Ask you to be with each of these prayer requests that have been brought out. And Lord, have your will with each one in a special way. We do ask you tonight to lay your hands on Brother Bill. Lay your hands on his body. He's sick, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that your will be done in it. And we leave it in your hands. And we thank you. And these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Have a good evening.